Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binchtown TV. Today, we are here for Survivor 45, Episode 9, titled Sword of Damocles, said by Drew. And Jeff, I'm going to start off with my fixation and just say, Jeff, folding his little leg over the other leg to listen to Drew, like, as a bit, I feel like he was doing that to be like, go ahead, Drew, explain something stupid to me again.
Yeah, that's so
like,
good.
Drew never stops trying to lead the way. I think he's gunning for Jeff's job. And this is Kathleen, and Julia's here too.
I'm here as well, and I agree. I think you should have it. He has become far and away the narrator of the season, and I'm enjoying it. I'm like, you know, I'm in Basile territory right now.
There was the scene where Emily was talking to Drew and Austin about being like, we should go for D, and there's a shot of Drew, and the Napoleon Dynamite of it all was just like right in my face, and I'm like, oh my god.
It was so much. What a like long awkward pause that they had at that moment. It was so uncomfy. I feel for Emily because she's just trying to do goddamn anything, something interesting, people, please.
Okay, so let's talk about how you felt. You can start. How did you feel about this episode?
Bored to tears.
Okay, why?
I watched it. I'll say, okay, so it was a little bit fun because I watched it with my family, so you know, I had a couple glasses of wine. My sister and I, who was part of our little club we watch every week, so we were obviously like, oh, let's watch with mom and dad. And you know, my parents are like just peanut gallery.
Oh my god, how many questions did Suze ask?
So many questions. let me start by telling you that she, by the end of the episode, she's like, I want that Bruce to win. I want him to win. He's my guy, he's winning it. He's winning it all, baby. I'm like, first of all, he did have a bit of a redemption arc in this episode, but like, god, I have so many things to say. Anyway, her fixation was Bruce.
Sure.
And I think she just like, you know, she's the type of person who once she plants her stake in the ground, that's where it stays. Like he could have said something, gone off the hinges at the end of this episode, and she would have been like, I love him. He's it for me. So she was sticking by that. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, we had to like explain to the jury. She thought that at the end of the season, Caleb and Kelly were going to be the only two people to like, she didn't realize that like people were, once they got the boot, they joined the jury. She was like, those two people just pick. I was like, no, Christ, no. And now I'm saying all this, and of course at the end of it, my dad's like, send me the link, I want to listen to you and Kathleen talk about Survivor. So hair, if you made it this far, love you, dad.
Yeah, I love you too. So anyway, my fellow Taurus king. But anyway, in general, I thought the episode was okay until the deliberations and tribal. I thought that was so insanely boring. I'm so sick of the dog pile. I mean, Jake coined that, and now it's all I can think about is.
Did they not say that in other seasons?
They may have, but no other season I've watched has been like this.
Oh my god, it sucks.
I think where my frustrations lie is that the people on Reba don't even have to try. They don't have to do anything. They really don't. Like, they have the majority And that's that. Like, no one from Reba has to go even lie to other people and play the game and be like, yeah, maybe we'll get this person out and then fuck them at the tribal. Like, nothing like that is happening.
It's so boring.
Okay, so let me like, I wrote down some stats and this is just from my head, so this could be a little bit wrong, but let me know if this is like normal or not normal. So okay. I was just kind of thinking about how boring it is that 9 of the people that were left in this episode prior to Kendra leaving, Kendra, Austin, Drew, D, and Keturah, 5 of the 9, have never had their name written down. Basically, have never even been in contention to get their name written down. Maybe Kendra once, but really, like, a lot of times, these people weren't even eligible, because we know that Lulu was every tribal, basically, except that one Reba. And yeah. Then Jeff keeps stringing these little twists where half the people are immune, or like the majority is immune, so only a few people are eligible. So those people have never even come close. And then
yeah,
Mama J had her name written down once, but she was never actually going to go home. Like, that was a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So the 3 left after that are Bruce, who Caleb had said in this episode that he was safe 16 of 17 days. Mm-hmm. So again, not eligible unless one, because he keeps winning immunity and stuff. And then Emily, who hasn't been a target since they got Sabaya out. And then Jake, who was only the target really last week. So it's like, I don't know. Is this weird? Is this odd? I don't know. Like, because we didn't get any. None of these people are like fighting for their lives. I feel like it's just like, Oh, who can we dogpile on this? Okay, knock them out. Like, I don't know. Is this like every season of Survivor is like this, or is this weird?
I think it's weird. I think everyone's playing extremely safe.
Yeah.
Like Jake at one point says, you know, like, I'm just being the dog here. Like, just saying like, what do you want me to do? What can I get you? How can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. Like, And as a free agent, that's like the safest thing you can do. I feel like their foresight is so limited in that, in taking the like, I'm just going to be your little like golden retriever, like yes man approach. Well, then you're not going to win this game. You're going to get voted out on the next vote. And if you're just trying to like live to see one more tribal council, like, snooze fest. What he needs to be doing is, as a free agent, is trying to make some moves and like go out swinging rather than just be like seventh, like whatever it is, fifth in a 4-person alliance or sixth in a 5-person alliance. Like, they're just chipping away at people right now, and it is so boring.
So there was 9 people left, 4 Rebas, 4 Bellows, and then Emily. Right? That's how it split. So this should have been pretty cool, but Jeff again took two people's votes, and it's, so now it's like the only way that this would have been cool is if it took away Reba votes, because then some Rebas would have finally had to be on the chopping block, you know. And Emily was trying to make a move, you were right, like Emily's trying, and in the next week on, you see her being to Bruce like, if we do this, we can't miss, like this has to be whatever. So I think Emily's turning on Reba, but again, that's, now it's like 4v4. So who are they going to get to turn? I think probably Mama J is the only one who could turn, but she would never vote D.
I swear to God,
she'd be one of the boys.
If she doesn't, she's making a very, very big mistake. She's saying she wants to take D to the end. Like, this to me is so silly that she's like, she's just taking orders from her. Like, D being like, no, I want Kendra. It's like, and Julie says it. She's like, D is operating with her own agenda. I'm operating with mine, but like, still D is calling the shots. Like, when are we going to stop hiding under people's like shadows and do something, people?
It's just the way that this season broke out. The fact that Lulu was in tribal every single time, it really screwed things up, because going to tribal is what breaks up these types of alliances. Like, if Reba or Bello had to go to tribal few times, that breaks up what they think is a strong alliance. Like,
yes,
like D, Mama J, Austin, and Drew are just chilling. Like, do they actually like each other? I don't know. Like, besides D and Austin wanting to kiss, but then it's like, I want them to kiss, but do I actually? I don't know. Do they have chemistry? It's not like Franny and Matt where you're like, oh my God, these two are fucking obsessed with each other. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just think the Lulu of it all screwed it up, because it didn't break up any of these alliances. And Reba is just this like core four that it's going to be really hard to break up until one of them decides to, you know, put their big, big boy pants on and knock someone out.
Let me tell you, I haven't been having fun since Sabaya left.
You think?
Kind of retrospective. Wait. Like I've had pockets of joy,
sure,
but I have not been like having true fun since.
So the pocket of joy since then is the Caleb. And then the auction was fun. We had fun during the auction.
Okay. Here's my thing. If the best part of the episode is the auction, and in this episode, you and I both said the challenge was fun. That's normally the part that I'm like, I don't care. Just show me who wins and loses. Like the fact that I was like, oh, let's see the next round. Like, this is exciting. And then when they get to the camp life and the deliberation, I'm like, you people suck. Move along. Like,
and it's 90 minutes of it too.
It's torture. I'm sorry. I am like not, I'm coming off really, really harsh right now, but the season is like, it's just not it for me at the moment. Maybe next week will blow my mind and like someone will do something. But if we just see a straight dog pile vote again, like I'm throwing a tantrum. I'm doing the crybaby.
That I would actually like to see. So, okay, then let's talk about dividing the tribes into thirds. Okay, so they try to make them balanced, and I'm doing quotes because
quotes.
It's like Jake, Drew, and D is not balanced. Like that's a great team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Keturah, Emily, Austin, Mama J, Bruce, Kendra. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really care how they split it up as long as they mixed up alliances, like as long as it wasn't like three Reba, three Bell, you know what I mean, and then like Misfits. I wanted them to split it up, and I think that led to some interesting dynamics where like there was the Sanctuary crew, the Puzzle crew, and then the Rice crew, I would call them.
Yeah.
but still, it wasn't like the Rice thing was probably the best thing that came out of it, and it's like mostly because I'm like, yeah, fuck Jake at this point. Like he was going to be my fixation because last week when he screamed like, whoa, in Kelly's face, and even like Bruce calling him out, like this episode being like, dude, like he needs to relax.
I have something to say about that though.
And then in this episode where like Jake like turns towards Kendra, like during the Jeff calling out the names, I was like, what is the point? I feel like he doesn't even know what to do with himself, but he's coming off as a jackass to me.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to me. But going back to Bruce being like his little like sappy moment in the beginning, his issue with Jake, he said he was over celebrating when somebody is clearly having an emotional like moment of sadness coming back to the beach. So he wasn't upset that Jake was, at least I think he was talking about over celebrating after they get back to the beach from tribal. And his feelings being hurt because he's the one who's oversad, not Kelly.
No,
that's how I read it.
Oh, okay. I read it the opposite way. But yeah, I mean, let me just say, sad Bruce is so much more palatable to me. I'm like, yeah,
oh, for
no
sure.
No wonder your mom loved him. This was a good episode for Bruce. Like,
I know.
If you only tuned into this episode, you'd be like, that guy rocks. And when Dee just like straight out was like, what did she say? You were like, your baggage or something.
She said, yeah, she said like, she felt like she was under house arrest.
House arrest, yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Stringing her out to dry. Listen, though, the Bruce edit this week made me a little nervous because I can see a world where...
No.
Let me say it. I could see a world where this really hard to watch, absolute dog pile of a season on Bruce being annoying and being blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God.
And like goofing, clowning on him is the setup for a redemption arc that starts now.
That is no.
I hope not. I hope not. I don't want that.
Who's
story.
Voting for Bruce on the jury? Who? Tell me.
But listen, if you're Bruce, okay, do you think that people, okay, we've been shit talking him this whole season. Everyone on the beach has been shit talking him the whole season. We get so many talking heads about how Bruce is this and Bruce is annoying and dad Bruce, uncle Bruce, whatever. He's sitting there watching this. The only The only thing I could see being a reason he's okay, like, and the producers feel okay dunking on him this hard is if he just wins.
I don't know. I'm thinking of other seasons where people are dunking and there's been dunkages. Like, people were just absolutely ripping Russell apart or ripping Natalie from Millennials Jet X. And it's like,
yeah,
people were in talking heads being like, these people fucking suck. Like, Natalie doesn't do dick around camp. She's bossing us around. Like, you know what I mean? And
this is new era. This is like post PC 2020 era. Pandemic. Yeah. Come on. Ew. In.
Gag me. Bruce is still enemy number one. Like, for the cast right now, they really want him out, but he just is like a cat with nine lives and keeps winning immunity. Everyone wants to flesh his idol. And as much as I don't really like Bruce, I kind of love it. Like, it's the only, I think Bruce with this idol thing is the only way to combat Rita. Rita? Who is she? Because if Bruce plays this idol right, like if Emily can convince him, this is my prediction. Okay. Emily has to convince Bruce to use his idol on whoever Reba is going after. Emily will still pretend to be on the Reba side, get the intel on who the Reba is voting for, have Bruce play the idol on that person. Unless it's Bruce, and that screws it up, because of course Bruce will just play it on himself. And then do they split the votes? But either way, Austin having two idols is like so scary, only because it's like, that feels like such a cop out. Can one of those like expire soon? Like, he's going to get to the final. How do you have two idols and you're in the top eight and not make it to at least the final four?
Oh, he's gonna.
Yeah. And even in this episode, Drew mentioned, like, I think we should play the idol on you and Austin.
Yeah.
Depending on who comes back with their votes or
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're really going to play two idols?
I hope they do. Dum-dums.
I know. I don't mind Reba. I just don't like that they have the monopoly.
It's boring me. They're great. They're doing a really great job. And like, as a game on the beach, like in real time, I get it. Like, I get playing safe. I get going with strength in numbers. Yeah. But as me consuming this as a piece of television and a piece of entertainment, I hate it.
I know. We just have to rely on Emily that she has a plan next week and will attempt to execute it, at least make it interesting, right?
Yeah, she better.
All right. Do you want to talk about the challenge at all? I thought the challenge was fun, and I watched it the next morning on we're recording this on Friday after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving like screwed up our recording schedule, but I was like loving the challenge, and it even had like a commercial break in between. I'm like, since when do we, this is a long challenge, you know? And I thought it was fun. Like, I thought it was one that, as we saw, it wasn't pure brute strength. It was balancing, and that middle challenge screwed up the team that lost. I mean, they could not find the third rope. So yeah. I thought it was interesting. I just hate that they got their votes taken away.
I know.
And I also want to say the crew that had to do the puzzle, I can't believe they didn't solve that. Like, you don't even have to move. You don't even have to move the numbers. You just do plus and minuses. And I will say, I attempted it and I missed. At first, I couldn't get it because I only thought you could have two pluses and one minus, but it was three pluses and one minus, and I fucked it up. And I purposely didn't look at Austin's answer during my first watch, so I could attempt it again during my second watch, and then I got it. But I mean, Emily and Keturah were just like,
oh, they choked.
I mean, I get it. When your vote's on the line, you have three minutes.
Poor Emily.
Who's to say? I'm not trying to say like I can do this, like blah blah blah. I think that there have been harder ones. I don't know. I just was like bummed that Austin kept his vote.
Dude, I know. I wrote down when they got to the beach, I was like, who do I want to have their vote? And I said, Emily, definitely. Maybe Keturah, not Austin. And the exact opposite happened. I was like, okay, sweet.
Yeah. How about Kendra not even realizing that someone could
be lying? Oh my God. What a silly little chicken.
I think she had a good last episode, like, her exit episode being, one, the comment on her are on Dee and Austin. She's like, I want them to get married. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
The opening scene of her cheers and Kelly made me audibly laugh. Aww. I was like, you're saying all. I was like, this girl is so corny.
Wait, I loved it.
It was funny.
I loved it.
I loved it both times too, but I think we loved it for different reasons. And then not knowing that Austin could be lying about the vote. And then her rocking out of the challenge. I thought she did a great job. Yeah. She got out first, but like she kept, you know, rallying.
Oh my God, and her arms was shaking. Their arms were shaking up there. It was a good episode for Kendra. I totally get it. I loved the like her basically like pouring one out for Kelly, for dead Kelly, apparently. Miss you, girl. Miss you, bestie. Miss you. Like looking up at the sky. I loved it. I don't know.
Well, everyone's like cheering in the back.
Yeah.
Jake's like hoo, 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 hoo. Oh my God.
And then Bruce is like crying somewhere in a corner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I will say what I said to you in a text. I think that it would have been more interesting in the immunity challenge if the three winners had lost their vote instead of the three losers. Like they could still go to sanctuary, eat. So, and then one of them still has the chance to win immunity, but all three would lose their vote. I think that's more
about two of them losing their vote and the other one winning. Like you get to make it to the end at a shot for immunity, but if you don't win the immunity, you don't get your vote.
Something of that sort where you're kind of having a crisis in your brain. Like if I make it to the end, I have a shot at immunity. But if I also make it to the end, I may lose my vote. Like, I think that's a funner thing than just being like, whoever's out first, lose your vote, fuckers.
Yeah. Sucker.
I mean, I don't know, like, logistically if that works or not. But either way, I don't think everything they've been doing is like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well,
like, not cool, basically.
Well.
I just need everyone to have individual immunity. Everyone to be in the immunity challenge and actually be eligible to win immunity. Like, I like the hanging on the pole. Everybody's doing the same exact thing. Can you do it the longest? Even last week when it was like Bruce won, they were holding their weight. Who could do it the longest? Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want it split in the groups. I don't want people to be depending on other people. It's individual immunity.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, Jake almost fucked his team because he couldn't get over the thing with the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want that. That should be against Jake. It shouldn't be against the other two. We're not at that point anymore. I don't like that.
I don't know why they keep screwing with the format like that. It's just infuriating. I just want to see these people. I want to see it be an individual game. And the more that we like do this little breaking apart and losing votes and stuff, it just.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, listen, Jeff. I'm still having fun watching. I know you're saying you didn't, but I think in general, like it's a fun watch. I think the issue is, besides it being a not the best season, we have to come on here and talk about it. So like we wish it was something that we could be like just like fully strategizing, like talking gameplay. But there's not much to talk about.
I know.
The only thing to talk about is the lack thereof.
Lackluster.
Yeah.
Let me get through my notes and see if I have anything else. Oh, what do you think about Keturah basically going straight to Reba and being like, Kendra wants D? Do you think that's a wise move?
So you had mentioned people are just playing it safe. That's what Keturah is doing.
She's like, I'll be the sixth in your 5-person alliance. Boring.
Keturah even says in this, doesn't Keturah even say, I'm the fifth in the Reba alliance? I'm like, no, you're not, girl.
No, Emily's the fifth. Sixth, if that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, there is no six. There's only 8 people left. There's no six. I don't know that people know how close, again, I'm using quotes, Emily is, like the alliance with Emily, Austin, and Drew. I feel like everyone's just saying Reba 4, and letting Emily kind of slide under the radar as if Emily is just like going with the masses, quote unquote. But Emily has been playing strategically with Reba for episodes now. at a time. Whereas Keturah has just clung onto them recently for dear life. So I think she's just playing safe and being like, well, if it ain't me, so whatever. Vote Kendra. I don't care. Just not me. Not me. Not me.
And yeah, until tomorrow night.
I know.
The emotional whiplash these people are going through, that like they're having tribal council every night. Is that how it's working nowadays?
It has to, because X amount of people go and there's only 26 days.
Yeah.
And in the beginning is when they had days off, I think.
Right.
Between challenges. I mean, Emily, I liked when she said to Drew, like, walk me through your thought process.
Yeah.
Because I do think it was the wrong choice to vote out Kendra versus Jake, only because I think Jake is more of a wild card in the sense where he will try and rally a vote. He doesn't want the dog piles. I think we haven't seen much of that from Kendra. I think Kendra thinks she was being strategic. I don't know that I actually think she actually was.
No.
Jake is the wild card, so you should get Jake out.
Yeah, but the reason they did was because D is calling all the shots, and they heard that Kendra was gunning for D.
I mean, listen,
like, get her out when I have the numbers.
Emily even mentioning we should get D out was bold and brave.
Really bold.
I don't think it went badly. I think Austin and Drew are like, hey, we get it, but we still don't want to vote her out.
I know. Because Austin likes talking to her.
Oh my God. So funny.
Austin likes talking to her. Guess what? Mm-hmm. I have a correction to make.
Oh.
I looked at our Survivor pool for the first time.
Okay.
Because I was like, there's no point in me even looking at this, at the numbers, because I'm losing all these people early and like quitting.
Did you not have someone?
I have two quitters. I have D. I thought I had Julie.
Oh my God, yes. Because in episode one, you were like back and forth on whether to take Mama or Jewel or mm-hmm. D. That's fine. They're both here.
True.
It doesn't change your score, but that's...
It doesn't. But like, now do I want D to win?
Who do you have left?
Bruce and D.
I have just Austin now because Kendra was my fourth person out.
Oh, shoot.
So I just have Austin left. I mean, we have no chance of winning. There's like 100 some people. Some people don't even have anyone out, right? Yeah, Kelly, like we said, points. Kelly was the number one person picked on our draft. So
let's hope that this year's draft does not have bot cheaters.
Oh, yeah. People had bot cheaters. We had bot cheaters last year.
I don't actually think there were bots. I think there were real people who just like found our thing and were like, they knew who the final five were. And there were like four or five people who put the final five from season 44.
Yeah.
And they all got
disqualified. Yeah, because of the statistical whatever
probability that would happen. Yeah. And like they all knew each other, like we knew that they all knew each other or something. Like imagine like you, like our sort, like you, me, Alex, Caroline going all in and just picking
yeah
and be like, we'll split the money.
I mean the money is
good money,
big. Like it's good money. It's hundreds of dollars, so it's not like it's like, oh, you win $50, so it's worth rigging it to some people, I guess.
Yeah, what we should have done though is they should have gotten it so that their team won first, second, third, and fourth or something like that, and then split all of the money. Not five of them put down the top five. That's stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Idiots.
Dumb. Okay. Anything else on this episode? I mean, it was just kind of a lackluster episode, I think, but I'm still having fun. I mean, I just love Survivor and it's like fun to watch. So
I don't want you going anywhere. I just love talking to you.
We can end the episode now and then just hang out some more.
Well, wait, hang on. I do have, let me just scan through my notes and then I want to make sure I tell you my fixation. Okay.
All right.
Here's a couple more things that I have to say to you. We texted about this. I loved that Basile was calling Bruce's game imaginary or fictional or whatever his word choice was. He's very articulate.
Drew.
Yeah. He was like, Bruce has been playing an imaginary game. And now that he realizes, now that his game is like the jig is up, he can pick two paths or whatever he said. That was like, I was like, brilliant.
Yeah.
I just loved that narration from him because it's so true. He has been playing a fictitious game that he thinks he's like top dog and he's just simply not. My next thing I would like to tell you is that the rotisserie chicken was very small.
Yeah, and it's so funny that they didn't give them utensils. It's like, why?
I'm not surprised by that. I'm more surprised that there was like, it was just one chicken.
I mean, If I'm Kendra and I eat chicken for the first time in 15 years, I'm shitting myself. Like, I'm shitting myself all the way to tribal. There's just like, like, I can't help but to shit myself.
Truly.
Last week, I listened to On Fire with Jeff Probst because I literally listened to all my podcasts and was like, fine, I guess I'll listen to Jeff. And Rick Devens, they were talking about, is there a bathroom at tribal? Can you pause tribal to be like, I got to go pee or something like that? And Rick was like, no. And many, many tribals, I was like ready to go shit myself and had to be like right beforehand, be like run into the woods, just shit and come back.
Like, no.
And because there isn't, like, even when you're on jury, there's not a bathroom there for you. Like, because you came from Ponderosa, obviously Ponderosa has bathrooms.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. So like Kendra eating chicken, I can't believe she was alive.
And then like, think how nervous you are before going to tribal too. Your stomach's probably just like in knots.
My girlfriend's dad was just telling me, he's a pescatarian. Like if he even has like a broth that's like chicken based, like his stomach is just like fucked
for
10 days. It's fucked. And thinking you're out there, you're starving, your body's already not working right. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I couldn't do it, but more power to her because she thanked the chicken for giving his or her there or their energy.
Okay.
The next thing I have to say to you is that Caleb's hair looked so hot. Caleb just looked hot.
Sure.
But on the flip side, Kelly now just looks like a nurse again. Normal girl again. She just looks like a normal nurse girl. Because
she was like hot as like a dirty survivor. Yeah. And now she's just like a normal girl again.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
They were talking like way more than juries usually do. Usually juries just like exchange glances, but they were like actually whispering each other. Mm-hmm. They were like obviously mic'd up. They're probably always mic'd up, but like they used those mics for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. Did they have a moment? I forget this. Did they have a moment where Caleb was like checking in on Kelly? Like being like, you okay?
He was like holding her hand the whole time. And
yeah.
I've never seen like someone on jury be that upset. Like still it's so raw to Kelly. I guess it really was only 24 hours before. Yeah. So. But it was like so raw for Kelly. And they talked about it a lot at Tribal.
Totally. And I loved the looks that they were giving each other about Bruce. Like when they saw he had the necklace on.
Oh, they still
on,
hate
like,
Bruce so yeah. much.
She was not happy. Kelly was not happy that Bruce was safe.
True.
My next note is Keturah's blazer.
It's the first time I've noticed it. I said to Alex, I was like, this bitch is going to come on the show and act like she's not a lawyer in this blazer. I really like Keturah. I just like her edits aren't like if she's not talking about Bruce, she's really not getting anything. I want because she's funny. I like her talking heads. Like she's always kind of laughing and making jokes. And I think that's great. And she's just not getting enough screen time, I don't think. I really like her.
I forgot about her. I was thinking right before this in the bath about the season and just what I was going to say. And I was like, well, we have so-and-so, this person left. And then I was like, hang on, I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting?
It was Keturah.
Yeah. Sorry, Keturah. She's not getting a lot of screen time. So, yeah. And like you just said, like she's willing to be a dogpile vote. So whatever. Those are the end of my notes. Do you want to hear my fixation?
Yes.
My fixation of this week's episode, and this should actually tell you how I feel about the season, is that my fixation was a commercial that aired during this episode. It was a commercial for Squid Games.
Oh, okay.
So my fixation is Squid Games into Figgy, into Gen X millennials, leading me down the rabbit path of getting back into pigtails as a couple.
That like, we watched Gen X Millennials. We really liked it. I had followed the cast and I hadn't seen her post in a really long time, probably because she was on Squid Games. But I see this person post and I was like, who the fuck is Figgy? And then I was like, clicked her profile and I was like, oh, fuck, Figgy.
Yeah.
Like, from Gen X Millennials. And I sent it to you. And yeah, she's on the Squid Games. I never watched Squid Games. So really? I don't think I'm going to watch Squid Games. I keep saying it.
I mean, it's kind of weird to me that they took a show, like a scripted television show about
killing people.
Yeah. And then we're like, let's do a reality show about this.
I think it kind of makes sense. And people love that. It was like one of the most watched shows ever. So it makes sense because all they care about is money.
The reality version of it or the OG?
OG.
Yeah, yeah, because that was a great show, but this is...
Don't make a reality TV show out of anything.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Figgy.
So, yeah, my fixation was bringing me back to the year 2016, I believe it was.
Taylor is due to have a baby in October, but not with Figgy.
So that should tell you that this season, my fixation of this season, this episode is a completely different season of Survivor.
Part of me is just thinking like, we are 45 fucking seasons into a show. Can we really expect the magic from 20 years ago? I'm like, what do we expect? They're just trying to shake it up. Like, I don't know. Like, how do we get the magic back? But I'm trying to be glass half full instead of just being like, this fucking sucks. I wish it was 2010 again.
I think they need to cast more hots.
More hots, more barbarians, more savages, more absolute bitchy monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Less nerds, more hots, more barbarians.
More hots is so funny. I love that. Jeff, more hots.
Please,
more
Jeffy.
Hots for you to make out with tongue.
Ew, tongue. So much tongue. On like the fucking orange carpet at the Nickelodeon Teen Choice Awards, I'm sure.
And for you to like grind like Eliza Orlins, that picture of you grinding with Eliza. That's great.
On the top of a bar.
Or on top of a bar. I think it's in Ponderosa.
Ew.
I think that's a perfect place to end. What do you think?
I think it's perfect. I'm done talking about this. Just kidding. Okay. I love it. I love hanging out with you. I don't want you to go anywhere because I love talking to you.
All right. Well, that's the episode. I'm not going to go anywhere because I'm not done talking to you either. All we have to say is more hots, please. And we are BingeTown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.